Hey everyone, welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yay! So, woo-hoo. Yeah, we're like rocking out here. A lot going on in this show and a diverse array of interesting information for you, right?
Of course.
But before we do that, I'm just kind of excited that we're going to have our own stretch clock videos.
I know. We have one already out there. I don't know if you've put it on YouTube yet. But.
No, because I have to edit it. I have to add our little tag to the end.
Oh, right.
But tell people what Stretch Clock is real quick.
Oh, I love Stretch Clock. It's an app that you can have on your computer and or in your browser, and every hour or whatever interval you set it for, a stretch pops up, and it's only a minute.
Yeah.
So it's a way to kind of move around a little bit, get a stretch. And it also, for me, when I found it, I was really looking for a way to remind myself just to breathe
while
I'm working.
Right.
But I tell you what, a couple of times I forget to unpause it. Like I pause it when we are on calls or whatever. If I forget to unpause it, I notice it.
Yeah.
Like my neck gets stiff. My shoulders get
well because we get so absorbed, and most people do, and they're like they're
you
writing
get all
or whatever.
Hunched over
So that's you're going to see the Green Divas demonstrating 1 minute stretches on Stretch Clock.
We're so excited about that.
And you're going to hear Stretch Clock audio breaks on GDGD Radio. So you got to go now and get the app. And make sure that you're listening to GDGD Radio throughout the day because you'll get your little breaks, your little stretch clock breaks.
Right. Well, and you can get the app for a little cheaper if you go to fundgdgd.com.
Oh, yeah. We offer it there.
Fundgdgd.com. It kind of ran together there. But
Thank you.
That is still up. That's our fundraising thing.
And
for
quickly,
GDGD.
While we're talking about GDGD Radio, we do have a new show that's on every morning called Mighty House with Ron Cowgill, and that's out of Chicago.
Of course it is.
I'm telling you. And he loads a new one in every Saturday morning, but I think it's Saturday or Sunday. But he's like a clean version of Howard Stern meets Car Talk. They are so fun. It is a really fun show with a lot of great ideas for, you know, any kind of renovation or fixes in your house to keep it clean and green. So this week's show, our feature is Rob Stewart. I had to notice I had to say Rob because I kept calling him Rod Stewart. But he's a neat young filmmaker.
Yeah, his recent film, Revolution, he talks about that in your chat with him, right?
And he's also, his first film, which was, you know, really well-received, was about sharks, right? What's it called?
Yeah,
Shark
called
Water?
Shark Water.
And that actually is really kind of fascinating. So listen to me talk to Rob, and we have a Green Diva Confessions this week, which we both participated in, involving paper towels. Oh, no! No, say it ain't so. And then we have a Foodie Files with Becky Streepy, our Green Diva foodie file and DIYer, Becky, one of our faves, talked about pickling, which is one of my...
I love pickles.
Love pickles. And so these are easy refrigerator pickles mostly we're talking about. You do a Green Diva's My Earth 360.
Oh, yes, I do.
About this new report that's like not very, you know, it's a little upsetting. Climate change and health issues.
So, and then Green Diva Nikki.
Yes, Green Moxie, Green Diva Nikki Fotheringham.
Fotheringham.
I know.
I love that name.
Yeah, I know. And she calls from like the wilds of Canada somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was calling. She did a traveling Green Divas about some camping hacks.
Can't wait to hear that one.
And then we
did a product review.
Oh my gosh, we finally got to talk.
Finally got around to it.
It's like, you know, we have quite a backlog of cool products, and this is one of my favorite products, which I've been using for a long time now. Acure Organics, and I use several of their products that I'm fairly attached to.
I agree.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
you guys, listen in, get the app, and make sure you plug into GDGD Radio. There's a lot of great stuff, new stuff getting loaded up every day. And
not just our show, but lots of other green and healthy living shows.
Yeah.
With lots more coming.
Yeah. So stay tuned, because we have a good show here for you today. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and borne by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth, and together we can make a difference. And another Green Diva's My Earth 360 with the fabulous Lynn Hasselberger.
Snap.
Boom. So this is kind of upsetting. You told me what, so we'll tell everybody else and then I'll comment.
Yeah, it's, it's no surprise that climate change is a threat to our health.
Bummer.
I know it's impacted my mental health.
Yeah.
And I can see why ignorance is bliss is why they came up with that saying.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I just want to turn it all off and move to a deserted island.
I know.
But then we'd have to worry about sea level rise, I suppose.
Yeah, right. There's like no escape. There's just no escape.
We need to move to a mountain on a deserted island.
As long as it's not a volcano.
Oh, yeah. True.
There's that.
Oh, what to do? So the Lancet Commission on Climate Change and Health, which is an international collaboration, found that climate change, climate change's threat to health, has been underestimated.
Oh.
So we knew it was pretty obvious, right?
Right.
And it risks unraveling the last 50 years of gains that we've seen in development and global health.
Really?
And that's kind of huge.
And do they cite what's impacted? Is it, lung-type diseases from pollution?
It's a whole bunch of stuff. Here's a quote from that report. The direct effects of climate change include increased heat stress, floods, drought, increased frequency of intense storms, with the indirect threatening population health through adverse changes in air pollution, the spread of disease, food insecurity, undernutrition, displacement, and mental ill health.
Wow.
So that's a lot of stuff. And already coal, oil, and gas have been found to contribute to heart and lung disease due to poor air quality.
Right.
It's also contributing to climate change, so it's just exacerbating the health risks it's already put upon us.
Well, wasn't there just a really horrible heat wave in India that killed some, incredible amount of people died?
Yeah, and there's another one going on right now in Pakistan. It hasn't killed as many people, but
that's something that we're not quite used to.
About 700 right now, the Pakistan heat wave.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I just hope we don't see that kind of heat going on over here.
Well, the thing is, we have a lot more air conditioning, which is then stressing out all of the grid and there's more pollution from
electrical production. Right. So more coal, oil, and gas are needed.
But, those folks in India and Pakistan, they don't have any relief. The people that are dying don't have access to.
Yeah, and I guess they were experiencing a lot of power outages, and if they did have power, they just they can't find relief. And then it's global health, but then people are going to start getting kind of pissed off.
Well, that's the thing. When resources get slim, that people get cranky and crazy and,
Right. And not to bring up the whole mass shooting incident, but, it's just another reason to have more control on guns. I didn't mean to bring politics into this or guns.
Well,
but it just came into my head.
I happen to agree with you, and whether you agree on that or not, climate change and the science is showing it is affecting our health on every level. Well, you'll have a link in a post to that, so let's wrap this up.
I will.
Send everybody there to find out more. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Meg.
Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com and myearth360.com.
I'm Ed Begley, and you're listening to the Green Divas Radio Show, the entertaining source for low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green and take action for the Earth.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Oh, I have missed this girl, one of our favorite foodies and DIYers, Green Diva Becky Streepy. Hi, Green Diva Becky.
Hi, Meg. How are you doing?
And, you know, for folks who don't know Becky Streepy, she's got glueandglitter.com.
I do. Yeah, that's my website.
And you're an author. Bowls, which is like my favorite way to eat. So I was like, oh, goody. That's so cool. Someone actually like did a cookbook for bowls.
That's great to hear. I also love food and bowls.
Yeah. So, you know, we're bowl people. So today we are like, Becky, we gotta talk about pickles.
Yes. Let's talk about pickles. My favorite topic.
I mean, I'm a pickle freak. We were talking about it before we started recording. So tell us a little bit about pickles.
Well, the kind of pickles that I like to make are called refrigerator pickles. It's still a food preservation method because instead of having to finish all of those cucumbers or all of those onions that your CSA brought you in the short time that they have on the shelf, you buy yourself, they say 3 to 4 weeks. I've pushed it as far as 6 to 8 weeks if you
cool.
Are like caution to the wind with food safety like I am. And so you give up some of the shelf life time that you get from hot water bath canning, but what you get in exchange is I feel like a little bit more confidence. You can't really blow it with proper canning. You know, there's a lot that you have to worry about, like keeping things sterilized, getting your acids balanced properly, following the recipe to the T. With refrigerator pickles, you can really like mix it up and have a lot of fun.
I'm much better off with the refrigerator pickles because I can't do cooking in a precise way, which is why I'm not a great baker. You know, I'm
exactly.
a great cook, but I don't do the like precision thing very well.
Yes, you don't have to worry so much about precision. You can kind of play with it, use what you have, and not worry that you're going to poison your family. Which is a bonus.
I have done, you know, the canning thing. I made some salsa a couple years ago with all my tomatoes, and it's a little scary.
It is.
Just saying.
I was telling you before we started the call that I have done hot water bath canning, and the last time I did it, I didn't know yet that I was pregnant, and then I found out that I was pregnant and decided that I was a little bit too scared to eat the pickles I'd made. And by the time I had my baby, they were past their shelf life.
Aww.
And I haven't done it since. It was a little heartbreaking because it's, you know, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Know, precision and then to just have to toss them.
Did your husband try them, though? Did your husband be brave and try them?
No.
No.
He's not so cavalier about food safety like me.
Oh, so give us a, I mean, you can pickle, obviously, you can do cucumber pickles. I mean, that's a real basic thing. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so you can pickle cucumbers, and I recommend it. It's a lot of fun, and it's a good way to start, too, because cucumber pickles are so easy. But you can basically pickle anything.
Yeah.
any vegetable or fruit that you have too much of, you can pickle it.
It does help preserve it a bit. So, like, if you're like, oh my God, I have way too much cabbage here.
Yes.
Right?
And pickled cabbage. Yeah, you can pickle anything. Basically, a pickle is just a fruit or vegetable preserved in a sauce called a brine. And brine is just a vinegar sauce. And it's the acid from the vinegar that extends the shelf life of your food, because bacteria doesn't live very well in an acidic environment.
So are you telling me the collards, I got like a, you know, this batch of collards that I really, you know, just, there's only so much I can juice them. You know what I mean?
Sure. Shred them up. Put a brine over them.
Oh, what a good idea.
And put them in a sandwich.
Oh, so it's almost like sauerkraut in a way, right? I mean, it's almost cabbagey.
Yeah, like sauerkraut for cheaters. You don't have the fermented benefit, but...
That's right. They're not necessarily fermented. Okay. So carry on. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, you're totally fine. So pretty much any vegetable that you have in abundance, you can pickle. And you can also pickle fruit. I have a cocktail recipe on my blog that uses pickled peaches in like a sweet and sour brine with black peppercorns, I think.
Wow. I don't drink, but that sounds good.
Put them on ice cream instead, or you can put them into it like a soda. You could put like maybe a little bit of the brine plus some of the peaches with seltzer water.
Oh my God, I would love
make
that.
Make a soda. I've pickled grapes before. Fruit pickles are a lot of fun, and they can add a lot of depth to a dessert or to a cocktail or to even a salad. Like those pickled peaches on a salad would be really, really good.
Oh, I'm so inspired. I was telling you before that I keep pickled red onions in the refrigerator. I don't know why in spring I just start doing it. And, you know, they just go wonderfully on almost everything.
They do. I actually had an ice cream sundae that had pickled red onions. Maybe they were pickled in balsamic.
Wow.
It was interesting.
See, I would probably like that because I'm a freak that way. But so, Becky, I know you're going to share some recipes with us. You always do.
Yeah. So on the blog, I shared... on the Green Divas blog, I shared my basic refrigerator pickle recipe. It's what's called a skeleton recipe, which is sort of a jumping off point.
Right, you can get creative around it, whether you want to add dill or some herb or something.
Yeah, so it's more about ratios and ingredient types.
Okay.
So instead of 2 tablespoons of dill, it would be 2 tablespoons herbs of your choice.
Got it.
It tells you how much vinegar and water, but what kind of vinegar you want to use is up to you.
Yep.
And you can use that recipe to pretty much pickle any veggie you want. If you were going to do fruit, I would do more of the sugar.
Yeah.
The sugar is optional, but I think for the fruit, that sweetness in the brine really makes it work.
Wow. So you can get really creative. I can't wait for this blog post because I'm sure it will unleash my creativity for pickles even further.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I can't wait to hear what kind of pickles you make.
Becky, I always love chatting with you. Let's not leave it for too long next time.
Yes, let's not.
And people, go to glueandglitter.com to see more, right, Becky?
That is it, yeah.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Green Divas are all about buying less and making more. But when we do buy stuff, we try to make sure it is sustainably made and supports healthy, green living. Here's something we liked and wanted to share with you. Well, this one has like a little Green Diva confession built in, right, Lynn?
Right.
Because we've got this bounty of amazing products, like every product.
I couldn't believe how much stuff we got.
From Acure Organics. And, I mean, this stuff is absolutely gorgeous, luscious, clean, clean, clean. And I love their tagline, which is kind of why we had been talking to them. It says, for your skin, for the planet. They're a very, very eco-friendly, conscientious and they do a lot for suppliers. For in fact, the marula oil that I have been using for a year, and because it's really good on scars, I started using it on my face because I had surgery last year,
mm-hmm.
and the scar is almost flat. And my face is radiant. Apparently, everybody's raving about my skin. I'm like, really?
Oh, you're just radiant inside and out.
There you go. But
I was using that stuff on my cuticles.
Yeah. See, and but did you know that that empowers women in South Africa? That
putting
oil.
Putting it on cuticles.
Well, not maybe, but the fact that you know we're using it and that they're you know when you purchase their marula oil. You are helping to empower women.
I see.
In South Africa. Nice, right?
Oh, that's wonderful.
So
it's an added benefit.
So
they also have they use natural organic ingredients. They have a commitment to that. But they also have a sense of humor if you read some of the directions.
Even the tiny print, right? It's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the I love the facial mask, cell-stimulating facial mask. It's got one of their ingredients that I guess is cutting edge is chlorella growth factor to protect collagen and elastin fibers from enzymes that destroy them, which is important, especially to women of our age, but it's also a good preventative measure for younger people. But anyway, on the back of this, it says, apply evenly over the face until you look like a green sea monster. And so that's what I did. I actually had taken a picture back when I first used this, so you'd have to scroll back in history on my Instagram account, but it just, my skin, it just feels wonderful. I feel like I'm in a spa when I ran out of the body wash a long time ago.
Yeah.
That stuff was great.
Well, and I'm very attached to and, you know, have repurchased since the body lotion. There's a calming body lotion with a mm-hmm. lavender scent, which is my favorite thing. And then there's a firming body lotion, which my buttocks likes.
Buttocks. It has nourishing omega-3 fatty acids.
See? It's good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a big fan, and now, honestly, I haven't been using anything else. And people have sent stuff to review, and I'm like, nah, I don't really want to. I kind of am attached.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The only thing I didn't like was their unscented body wash, and they also had an unscented body lotion. And their scents that they add, it's all natural. It's not like they're adding fragrance, which
is
terrible.
They're using
essential
oils, yeah.
But so I tried the unscented. It was like gag reflex on that. I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with any of it. That's interesting, but that's a personal taste thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's
but
all subjective.
I also want to say that the price point is extremely reasonable for this. You know, I'm very excited about that, like that giant tube of body lotion that I am very attached to and I use on my hands every night is only $9.99. So, I don't know. I think that's reasonable. Just
absolutely.
Saying.
And their tagline, did you mention that already?
I did. For your skin, for the planet. So
I must have been spacing
out. And I've seen it everywhere. I've literally seen it in Whole Foods, and I think my supermarket might even have it. So,
well, they don't do animal testing, which is also important to note. And they're 100% carbon neutral.
Yeah, no, that's what they're very – we got to close this one up.
Oh.
But
we could go on forever.
We could. So please go check out Acure Organics.
And they're gluten-free.
Yay, so you can eat it. Yay. No, just kidding. To learn about more low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. so glad to finally get a chance to speak to this woman who we've seen out there, and she's been a wonderful supporter of the Green Divas, and she's got her own book and her own social media thing going on, Green Moxie, Nikki Fotheringham. Did I get that right?
That's perfect.
Cool. Yeah, so today I think we're going to do an interesting travel with some camping hacks, which, you know, there's all kinds of cool things, but it's just interesting for me personally, and I'm being selfish here, because my husband and I haven't camped in many years, but we've been feeling that itch to go out in nature and do some camping. So I'm like, yes, I'm excited about this. So give us some of your best camping hacks, Nikki.
Sure. I think one of the first things to focus on is bug spray,
yeah,
which, especially at this time of the year, it's really necessary. And while we like to be outside, I'm sure most of us don't like spraying all their chemical bug spray on over us. And
no.
You can make your own really natural one, and it takes 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. Just 10 drops each of lemon eucalyptus oil, citronella oil, and orange oil.
Okay.
And a half a cup of witch hazel.
Well, that seems easy enough.
I know. And you can, and it's safe for children, pets. I use it on my dog, too.
Okay. Now, does it repel ticks as well?
It does. Although, I think that for ticks, you can use other things as well.
Okay.
And I think the rosemary oil is better for that, for ticks.
Okay.
And geranium oil. But you can just add that in to the spray, because the dogs also are affected by deer flies and mosquitoes. So just add that in.
Okay.
That would be great for everybody.
Good, good, good.
The second thing is everybody needs to go to the bathroom at some point.
Yep. Yep,
and
yep.
So I find if you just pop that central cardboard ring out of the toilet roll, you can squash it flat, put it in a Ziploc bag, and then you're good to go.
Oh, there you go. Or you can buy. Now they have some, at least, you know, here in the States, because I know you're up in Canada, they do have, they sell some that doesn't have the cardboard in it, which is, you know, kind of cool.
Right. Even better. If you're cooking and you have some dirty pots and pans, the easiest way to do it is just use some sand as a natural pot scour. Instead of using a lot of soap there, just to clean those pots and get that grease off. It can be kind of difficult if you've cooked over a fire and it's gotten burned in.
Yeah.
But you'll find that sand really gets it right out.
Right, and that's if you're using aluminum cookware or anything stainless steel, right?
Yeah, especially. Just make sure that you clean those pots and pans away from water areas, like lakes and rivers, and of course away from your tent, because you don't want to attract animals.
Yeah. That's then you have to hang your food, right?
Absolutely. I also like to freeze bottles of water, which I use in the first couple of days to keep milk or cheese or any of those products that you're taking with you cool. And
yeah.
Then the last couple of days, you have a fresh supply of drinking water.
Well, that's smart, right? So then, yeah, you will have, in theory, used up your milk or whatever you wanted to keep cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Good idea.
If you do happen to get mosquito bites, a really great way to relieve itchy bites or any kind of rashes, really, toothpaste.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you have small children, you can substitute your tent pegs with solar light so they don't fall over the tent pegs, and it lights up the campsite so you can see where you're going.
Oh, that's really good idea. See, they didn't have solar lights the last time I went camping. Just saying.
If you plan on making pancakes, you can mix the dry mixture, or just take pancake mix if you prefer, and put it in a little sealable plastic bag.
Yes.
When you're ready to make your pancakes, you just pop the water in, and then cut one corner off the plastic bag so that you can pipe your pancakes into your pan.
That's freaking brilliant. And then you just got to make sure you carry the plastic out with you. Don't leave it out in the woods.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course you carry the plastic.
Cool.
Don't burn it either.
Yeah, no, bad idea of burning, no. Mm-hmm. Well, these are all really great. And I know that you're going to provide, because I know you've been giving us a couple of really great posts. So I'm guessing that there's going to be a great post with even more ideas to go with this. Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And everybody can go to, is it greenmoxie.com?
That's the one.
Yeah, there you go. Check out more of Nikki's cool green ideas. Thanks, Nikki. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures. The Green Divas have a confession. We're not perfect, but we do our best to live a greener lifestyle and take action for the earth. Some of us still have to fill our cars with gas, and once in a while you might catch one of us drinking from a plastic water bottle or using a paper towel. Come on, folks, let's keep a sense of humor about it all. Green Divas Confessions. Shh, don't tell anyone you heard it on The Green Divas. Another Green Divas Confessions. And we're both in on this one, right, Lynn?
Yes, in this episode, I hate to admit it, but I was once a paper towel junkie.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I occasionally use them now.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bad thing is that to make 1 ton of paper towels, 17 trees are cut down.
Oh.
And 20,000 gallons of water are consumed, and every day over 3,000 tons of paper towel waste is produced in the U.S. alone.
Whoa. So that's right. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't use a ton of paper towels. Come on.
Well,
man.
I don't use 3,000 tons worth right now.
Yeah, yeah. But
I used to use them a lot. I had my paper towel holder in the kitchen. I mean, what's a kitchen without the paper towels? It's like an accessory.
Well,
you could get a really cool design for a paper towel holder.
I still have one. I don't, you know, I try not to use them, and you and I both. I mean, first of all,
when you were here, you saw I didn't have any.
Which was annoying, but, you know, no, because I have, you've seen my kitchen, I have like 100 dish towels right there by the sink. But there are certain things and times when you need a paper towel.
Yeah, I agree. For a while, I went like 100% no paper towels for anything. And the cat would throw up. I'd use newspaper, and that would kind of spread it around. And then I'd use rags, and then you have to rinse the rags, and then you put them in the wash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's certain things like that. And fortunately, knock on wood, my son was never one to, I think once, and he's 14, one time he had the stomach flu. No, make that two times.
Oh.
Once when he was an infant and another time.
Oh.
And so,
yeah,
you know, well, paper towels make sense for that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So we don't, I use a lot of the dish towels most of the time. But there are, like you said, the cat. We have a cat that has vomited pretty much every day of her life for 17 years. And there's nothing wrong with her. It's just like a daily thing, you know.
She's a bulimic cat?
I think so. I really think we had this other cat had an eating disorder, and she was so fat. She was so fat that the vet at 6 months old, when he went to spay her, had to do a sonogram because he couldn't believe how fat she was.
Wow.
Yeah, she had an eating disorder too.
Did he think that he ate the other cat?
Us and our crazy cats. Oh, my gosh. So.
Oh, well, and the other thing too with cats. And dogs, any pets, you know, sometimes they can have other kinds of accidents in the house.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, do I sacrifice a dish towel?
Use tissues, too. I forgot to mention. Not tissues, but like toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the good thing is you can use recycled paper towels.
Right, and that's exactly what I know you and I both do.
And what's cool about if you do switch over to recycled paper towels, if every household in the U.S. replaced just one roll of virgin fiber paper towels with 100% recycled ones, we could save 544,000 trees.
Well, that's a lot. So people,
that's worthwhile, man.
You know, so this is what we're working on. I'm reducing the amount of paper towels I use. I
yes.
use much, much less. I mean, I can keep a roll for a long time. And I only use the recycled content paper
mm-hmm.
towels. So it's not perfect, and this is why it's a little bit of a confession.
Exactly.
All right, Lynn. We you are forgiven.
You are too.
Yeah, there you
we
go.
We are not perfect, Green Divas.
But we try. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a Green Diva or Green Dude confession? Share it with us on social media or on thegreendivas.com. And let's all remember not to judge ourselves and others as we trudge this happy road of destiny towards a more sustainable way of life. And don't forget to listen to the Green Divas Radio Show on GDGD Radio. That's GDGDRadio.com.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
All right, so I was just watching a behind-the-scenes film of one of this man's films, and I was, like, so engrossed. I almost, like, forgot that I was going to talk to him. This young man is an amazing filmmaker with some powerful storylines, unexpected, a couple of them. Rob Stewart, not Rod. Although I did call him that behind the scenes a couple of times, and Lynn was like, Meg, it's not Rod Stewart. Rob Stewart, who is a filmmaker, he's the director and producer of a couple of very important films. One is Shark Water. The other one is Revolution. And both, I haven't seen all of both of them, but everything I have seen is just amazing and very powerful stuff. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Wow. Yeah, I'm still recovering from just the behind the scenes. I Shark Water, I mean, it seems like you were shot at. You got sick. There was like possible jail, people chasing you. I mean, it turned into some real drama there, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I tried to make a pretty shark movie that could show people sharks through my eyes and dispel the myths of sharks as predators of people. And we ended up in a mid-ocean battle and colliding with a pirate fishing boat, and we were charged with 7 counts of attempted murder. The Taiwanese mafia was involved because of how much money there is in the exploitation of shark fins. So we had to run from the country wrapping our boat with barbed wire while they're firing machine guns at us. And it became this crazy adventure into, you know, man's relationship with sharks.
Well, it's just, you did not expect that.
No, not at all. I mean, when I started, I was 22. I'd never shot a video camera before. I'd never made a movie. And I was just trying to educate the public because I believed if people knew what the problem was, if people understood that, you know, the consumption of shark fin soup in Asia had decimated shark populations by 90%, that hopefully people would do something and fight for sharks.
Right. Well, you were inspired by the right thing, and who knew you were going to end up with this really amazing, intense adventure. And the film itself, from the bits that I've seen, were beautifully shot for someone who'd never done that before.
Thank you. I started out as a wildlife photographer, so taking pretty pictures was one of my favorite things to do. But it took me 4 years and 15 countries to kind of learn how to tell a story and make a movie that could change people's hearts and minds and make them love and care for sharks and then hopefully, you know, go to bat to fight for their protection.
Well, it worked, and I'm glad you. Sorry you had to go through such interesting challenges, but I'm glad you got the film out. And then this Revolution, I was looking at the trailer, and it looks like one of these crazy sci-fi futuristic, like, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and, you know, it looks, and I'm like, but but this is actually happening. So
yep, this is actually happening.
This is real, man. So tell me a bit more about Revolution.
When we were releasing Sharkwater, we had the opportunity to travel the world and meet some of the world's top scientists and activists and politicians, and they were excited about Sharkwater and the change in the world that it was ushering in. But they said, you're kind of missing the point. You know, it doesn't matter if we save sharks, we wipe out all the world's fish, if we wipe out all the world's forests, if we live in a world with failing oceans. And they cited studies that, you know, really made the future look quite grim for humanity and made it look like sometime this century we'll be fighting over the remaining resources and struggling to live here.
Right.
So it was pretty clear to me that, you know, if I wanted to save sharks, we had to save everything else and save humanity in the process. And so I figured that the environmental movement so far had seemed external. It seemed like saving pandas on the other side of the world or saving a forest we'd never seen. But if we could maybe position it now as save the humans, then I thought maybe people would, you know, stand up and take notice. And that was the impetus for Revolution, to give people an understanding of life, that it's life that gives us our food, our water, and our air, and that we've been destroying that life with the advent of civilization and our technology, but that there's a lot we can do to change it, and the biggest movement that's ever existed has risen up to the challenge of saving our world, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, it is, and there is a sense of optimism, I know, that comes through, but the trailer has that sort of, you know, intense kind of, you know, it was very well done. But there was something that you mentioned in the Sharkwater behind the scenes, something that really I've never heard but made tremendous sense, of course, it seems elementary, was that the ocean provides 70% of the world's oxygen, the oxygen that we need to survive?
Yeah, the oceans are the source of life on the planet. They're very much the lungs for the planet. Most life on Earth lives in the ocean. It's 80% at least of all the life on this planet lives in the sea. 90% of the habitable space on the planet is in the oceans. The oceans are the greatest regulator of climate, they're the greatest regulator of gases in the atmosphere, carbon, which is ocean acidification and climate change. So in any environmental scenario or a situation where we're concerned about protecting human life on Earth and in the future, the oceans are the most important.
You know, and it's coming up more and more in our discussions, but I don't think people understand the impact. And I think sometimes we think, oh, the ocean's just so big, we couldn't possibly kill it. But apparently, another scientist in the film was discussing how important sharks are as one of the most ancient creatures in the ocean at the top of the food chain, that if they, you know, diminished greatly, thus the whole food chain starts to get disrupted and plankton. I mean, it just, you know, and then if the oceans die, well, hello, people. We're right behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we pointed out in Sharkwater, is that sharks aren't just like another fish. Sharks were here 150 million years before the dinosaurs. They'd survived 5 mass extinctions. They were the first vertebrate on Earth with jaws, existing before present concentrations of oxygen stabilized, before life on land. So when you remove sharks from the oceans, you very much remove a framework for life in the oceans, and that's life in the oceans that we depend on for survival.
It's hard to fathom that they've been here longer than dinosaurs.
It is, yeah. You know, they're one of the most successful group of species on the planet. The first vertebrate was jaws. They were here when the oceans were only very primitive. And, you know, they've seen life on Earth rebuild from scratch like 5 times.
Wow, and they could, again, theoretically. But now, go ahead.
There's sharks under Arctic ice and sharks in the dark trenches of the ocean. So, you know, very much there will always be sharks. It's just, you know, now that we have these bigger environmental issues, it's a question of whether we're going to be here or not.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about some of the optimism that you have walked away from doing both these films, which had to be hard. I mean, the watching them hack up some, you know, there was some footage of fishermen hacking up some of these sharks, and that was when you called me. I was like, oh my God. You know, seeing what you've seen and gathering some of these intense, you know, this intense footage and the stories, you still have a sense of optimism, and as we talked before before the recording, so tell me why. What have you seen that has brought about your optimism?
Starkwater taught us something pretty beautiful and universally human, that humanity's good and we'll do the right thing once we know what's going on. When Starkwater came out, people had no idea sharks are being wiped out for shark fins too. And people around the world, since its release, have fought for sharks. Government policies changed all over the world, and kids particularly found meaning in their lives getting banned on shark finning and shark fin soup. And so I really truly believe that now that we have a challenge that threatens all of humanity and our future, that we're going to rise to the challenge and it's going to call out the best in humanity. You know, for the first time in history, any kid has an opportunity to be a hero for an ecosystem, for a species, for the future. And opportunity's never really been there in the past. So in a time when humanity needs meaning, when we're stuck on social networks and people can rise to this challenge and really learn what it is to be a civilized, beneficial human. And I think by fighting for the world we want, we're going to get there a lot faster than just by trying to slow down the juggernauts of industry or democracy or any of that.
Well, I'm with you because I learn about the same challenges and some of the stories are pretty intense and a little bit overwhelming. Yet the people that I meet and get to talk to, like you, who are out there like just finding the good and making it happen and making a difference, it really does. Like I hang up the line and think, oh, good, you know, there's another human out there just sparkling. And you know, one of the guys that helped you, and I know we keep going back to Sharkwater, but Captain Paul Watson with the Sea Shepherd. I think I had seen him. I don't know if it was Sunday Morning or 60 Minutes. They had done a feature on him a while ago, and I'd forgotten about him. I just hadn't seen him around or whatever until I saw that, and I thought, yeah, that guy's amazing.
Paul's amazing. Yeah. When I first met Paul in 2002, there was, you know, virtually no one doing anything to save sharks. And Paul was out there willing to risk arrest and confront governments or corrupt politicians and really do something to stop the exploitation of sharks in some of the biggest and most protected marine reserves on the planet, like Cocos, Costa Rica, and Galapagos, Ecuador. And it was the journey with Paul that resulted in the attempted murder charges and machine guns and mafia rings that became the main brunt of the story with Sharkwater.
And, you know, and that was probably just the brief time, whatever seemed like an eternity, I'm sure, when you were there. But this is his life. This, you know, he's there doing this like all the time, right?
Yeah, he is. He's a hero for the environment, for sure.
That is, you know, that's got to be inspiring. How cool is that you got to go through that adventure and live to tell about it?
Yeah, and all around the world, there's people rising to this challenge and finding new and innovative ways to change the world and confront the problem. And it's going to be the diversity of tactics. So we'll need people like Paul Watson out there ramming boats, but we'll also need people launching some well-aimed legal battles.
Yep.
We'll need people making films. We'll need people educating kids. I think it's going to take everybody getting involved in some way.
Yeah, I think so. But like you, we work hard here at the Green Divas anyway to find the good and see the good and shine the light on that, because that is what is going to inspire someone. And, you know, everybody has their own viewpoint, their own perspective, and what may catch your eye might not catch somebody else's eye. But that's why we're all out there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, people have an enormous amount of power to change the world, as evidenced by the massive revolutions in the past. You know, brought an end to slavery and equal rights, and the world's radically different than it was just 50 years ago.
Yeah. So tell me, what are you working on now, or what's your next adventure?
Our next adventure is imagining the future.
Oh.
Right now, I think that part of the reason why our environmental movement hasn't really succeeded is that it's been fighting against the problem. And in this paradigm, even if we win, you know, we'll reduce carbon emissions by 10 or 20% and celebrate that as a success.
Yeah.
But anyone that really knows the issues would know that that might buy us 1% more time on a hugely degraded world where we're still fighting over what remains.
Yeah.
So I think we need to imagine a world worth fighting for. Like, right. We got this right and designed Earth to be beautiful for us and all species, and pollution was illegal, and we manufactured things out of garbage instead of out of the natural world, and we brought ecosystems and life back. I think by creating a vision of what this world might look like if we got it right, it would be more inspiring for young people to get involved. So that's what we're focusing on now.
Oh, I think that's extremely exciting. So are you working on a film?
It's going to be a series of some sort.
Okay.
Like.
Okay.
I'd like to get into the media a little more often than every few years with a big feature film.
Yeah, that's a lot of work put in there. Well,
yeah.
I'm very excited about your work, and I'm going to go watch both Shark Water and Revolution. And you can go to sharkwater.com, and there's several films there to see. And I know Shark Water is available on YouTube now, right?
It is, yes.
And then the Revolution is therevolutionmovie.com?
Yes, and you can get to it via sharkwater.com as well, and you can watch that online through various platforms like Vimeo.
Yay. Well, keep up the good work, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again, especially about some of this exciting new vision for the world we want to be in.
Awesome. I'd love to come back. Thanks so much for helping us tell the story.
Thanks, Rob.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.